Glenn Dees, Director of Health and Human Services, County of Northumberland, regarding the Port Hope Walk-in Clinic. Welcome, Glenn. We're thrilled to have you here this evening. And you do have 15 minutes.
All right. Evening, everybody. So I was asked by Mayor Hankiski if I could provide a brief overview and update on activities related to the Port Hope Walk-in Clinic. So I have a few slides here that I'll walk through. Primarily, these are from other presentations that have delivered to other groups on the Port Hope Walk-in Clinic. And in the interest of time, I've just selected a few slides that I think would be important for council to be aware of. So firstly, looking at the walk-in clinic from the beginning or the onset of the clinic, a lot of you are already aware that this initiative was originally seized by the mayor, Mayor Hankiski, or the deputy warden at county, who has led physician recruitment efforts for the clinic's activation alongside closely with Councillor Les Anderson, who has spearheaded much of fundraising events that have taken place to get the clinic up and running. So this pilot project was approved by County Council following motion by the County Deputy Warden and Mayor of Port Hope, Lana Hankiski, for the county to be passed looking at feasibility of opening the clinic and then ultimately activation and operation of the clinic subsequent to that. So a couple of notes on the slide here that I'll point out. The Ontario Medical Association estimates that there are about 2.5 million people in Ontario who are currently unattached to a primary care physician, and from a local perspective, about 8,000 Northumberland residents are estimated to be unattached to a primary care physician, with 4,000 in West Northumberland alone. And the number that is most alarming on this slide is it's anticipated this could rise to 1,000 in Northumberland by 2000. So this slide is speaking to the effective and collaborative partnerships that have been developed for the setup, operations, and data collection and analytics related to the clinic. You'll see there's three logos at the bottom of the slide. Firstly, given the county's experience and lack of knowledge in primary care and primary care delivery, the Community Health Center of Northumberland was approached for a possible partnership to get the clinic up and running and the operations of the clinic. And subsequent to that, an SLA or a service level agreement was established to provide nursing services as well as IT support. And with respect to IT support, this is really in regards to implementation of a standalone EMR system or electronic medical records system, as well as training positions for the EMR system. The county, obviously, primarily for providing oversight. So this is back office sorts, scheduling, website communications, and IT hardware, and IT hardware system. Subsequent to opening the clinic, we developed a partnership with Loyalist College. This was their Center for Healthy Communities, their Applied Research and Innovation Office, to facilitate a two-phase project for collecting data in respect to the clinic. So firstly, looking at quantitative data from our EMR system and then qualitative data so that we could have data-driven decisions moving forward and optimizing the service that's delivered. Continuing on, looking at community partnerships now for funding the clinic. At the onset, the initial funding that we had from community partners was $135,000. This was comprised of funds from the Port Hope and District Healthcare Foundation for $75,000. And you see on this slide, there's a photo of a check presentation in the clinic for those funds with the president of the foundation, Matt Layton. There was also $35,000 from Port Hope Rotary, $15,000 from the town of Coburg, and $10,000 from Loyalist College. So one of the things we quickly recognized in activation activities for the clinic that there were some fairly significant upfront one-time startup costs that hadn't been contemplated that utilized a fairly substantial amount of those initial funds that we had in place. Most significant really was the implementation of a standalone EMR system and a network that sort. Recently, Northumberland County committed $107,000 towards the clinic from its 2005 budget, and a note that annual budget estimate going forward, should the clinic be operating 4 days a week as had originally been contemplated, would be about $107,000 forward. And this really sorts the ongoing efforts for nursing support, supplies, rent, and overhead costs. And just to provide some context, you'll see the bottom bullet on the slide here. The addition of a nurse practitioner to the clinic for 3 full days a week would add about $90,000 to the clinic's operating budget on an annual basis. So this is really in respect to trying to maximize the extent that we can have clinics operating out of clinic, recognizing there could be greater economies of scale that would be garnered when we look at some substantial fixed costs that remain back, regardless of the volume extent that clinic is able to do off. One of the common questions that we had at the onset of opening the clinic was if a patient visit the clinic if they have a family doctor. All of our communications leading up to the opening, and certainly we still have place, is that Port Hope Walk Clinic is intended to provide primary care to those individuals that are unattached. You'll see there's an image here of some of our social social media, and it very clearly indicates that we do try to redirect individuals that attend the clinic that are attached to a family physician, but ultimately we redirect FO if they're affiliated with FO or a nurse practitioner at the FO or an after hour clinic that their FO might operate, but ultimately we don't refer individuals away. There's a note on the slide here because this was also a common question. Would there be financial penalties by family doctors whose patients visit the walk clinic? And there aren't any financial penalties by when visiting the clinic on a weekend or a holiday. So I'll just move on to a few points of quantitative data as was collected and presented by Loyalist College. This again was facilitated through the Applied Research Innovation Office at Loyalist College and with nursing students in a nursing program using de-identified clinic ER. So the first 6 months of operations are highlighted here. So this is from August 2024 to January 2005. We will look at doing a refresh of this data, likely with the upcoming semester at Loyalist College. But a couple of things to note here, you'll look at split at the clinic between attached and unattached, fairly even, slightly higher for unattached. But in respect to the proportion of unattached in broader community, the clinic is meeting the need to provide services to those that are unattached with a primary care physician. Total patient visits is just over 600 in 6 months. But just a caveat to that with the initial launch of the clinic, we're very much a soft launch period for some time as doctors and nurses got familiar with the EMR system. They got familiar with workflows and we're now able to see patients a lot more quicker than we initially did at onset. Just very quickly on this slide, it shows geographic distribution of patients visiting the clinic. Postal code areas are color coded in shades blue, where darker shades indicate higher concentration of patients and lighter shades represent lower concentration. So looking at this slide, you can very easily see that by far the greatest concentration is coming from Port Hope and Coburg, and it approximates about 8 individuals. This table is showing of those that attended the clinic that are attached, what proportion would have to drive in excess of 30 minutes to their primary care provider. The first row that we see is in respect to residents that are in the Port Hope Coburg area that are attached to family doctors, and they represented 85% of the individuals attached visiting the clinic, and almost half of those have a drive of greater than 30 minutes to get to their primary care physician. So what the students at Loyalist concluded from this is that within the community, there likely are a number of retirees or individuals that have relocated, that have maintained their primary care physician where they're from, recognizing that if you give up a primary care physician and you get on a wait list, you're likely waiting extended time. Unattached patients by age range, a quick visual on this pie chart on the left, at the age groups 45 to 65 and 65 to 80. So this is the red portion of the pie chart in green. Almost half of the unattached patients visiting represented that age group of older adults. And really what the students concluded from that is that clinic really is meeting a need for older individuals within the community that do not have a doctor, particularly when they have multiple chronic conditions, likely an increased need for primary. This is just a quick visual of the total number of patients versus the number unattached by age group. The blue bars represent total number, and then the orange bars represent those that are unattached relative to those the total number of visits. Reasons for seeking treatment at the Port Hope Walk-In Clinic. Again, this visual is very similar to the previous one that we looked at. If you look to the left of the pie chart, you'll see that looking at brown and gray, this represents individuals that were visiting the clinic for respiratory and fever related instances. So very much supporting that clinic's role is effective in managing non-emergency. Total patients receiving a referral or prescription by month. The months of November, December, and January representing a half month are the months where we saw the most from the perspective of patients receiving a prescription. And again, students concluding from this that the clinic is meeting its intent to serve those that are unattached and preventing individuals from visiting emergency rooms when they have non-acute items of care. The second phase of the Loyalist Project was a qualitative survey. It's just a few highlights on the slide. I won't go into all of them, but I will just comment that through the survey, much of the commentary that we received is clinic is needed within the community, and it could meet a greater need if the clinic be open to a greater extent. Some of the responses that we had were individuals visiting clinic but not being able to attend to because the clinic was already passed very, very early in the day. The last slide is just from students at Loyalist College and doing some of their research and referencing from the Office of the Auditor General in a value for money audit that while up to 5 emergency patients treated and discharged in Ontario could have been treated in a doctor's office clinic. There are insufficient efforts to have individuals diverted from emergency departments to a more feasible and more economical and more efficient source of treatment through a clinic or a doctor's office. So that concludes the presentation. I take questions.
Thank you very much, Glenn, for coming in and giving that update and sharing some of the data. I do want to acknowledge Councillor Andrew's efforts in the very early stages of this clinic. The fundraising that we did together of $135,000, which has allowed us to come to the county and ask the county to come involved. So I do really want to acknowledge all the work, Councillor Lass, that you made and continue to make on the sustainability of the clinic. And thank you for both the quantitative and qualitative data and for bringing loyalists into the evaluation process. So at this point, I'll turn it over to questions and comments. Yes, Councillor.
Thank you. When Marilana and I wanted to proceed with a walk-in clinic, although we had had history for many, many years at Port Hope with a walk-in clinic, if we didn't have Northumberland County and their expertise in installing the EMR system and the IT system and the community health center, from their point of view and their experience in executing a number of initiatives, no matter how much money I had, was because we were in a steep learning curve to get this thing operational. Marilana spent endless hours recruiting doctors and having to backtrack because delays in opening of the clinic would drop off. And it's a constant thing. So you really put your time in. Raising money, well, that's one thing. And you're going to hear more about that later today from the mayor and how we're going to do it. And Glenn, thank you so much. She did an outstanding on behalf of me. And yes, so thank you.
Thank you for those words, Councillor Lassen. Indeed, this would not be a reality with your leadership and just openness to take on the challenge. So we thank you that very much, Glenn. Any other questions or comments from around the table? Seeing none, thank you again for being here. The recommended motion is identified on the agenda, and it is to receive this delegation for information. Can I get a mover and seconder on this? Moved by Councillor Todd, seconded by Councillor Darrell. All in favor? Thank you. And as promised by Councillor Lass, I think this is a great segue to make an announcement about a fundraiser that is going to be launched for the walk-in clinic. It's going to be a 10-day fundraiser starting on the 21st of June and ending on July 1st after our candidate parade. It's going to involve businesses and organizations across Port Hope and Cobourg over that 10-day period of time. And I really want to thank Councillor Adam for stepping up and helping us reach some of those businesses, and Councillor Lass for his work on the campaign to date, and our summer student, Daniel Diamond, for hitting the ground running on this, and to the county communication staff for helping us to create some of the social media assets for it. The fundraiser is called A Toonie at a Time. That's the headline, A Toonie at a Time. Our goal is $70,000. And the goal is really determined by the fact that generously the Port Hope and District Healthcare Foundation has said that they will match dollar for dollar up to $7,000. So if we are successful, it means that we can add critically that nurse practitioner position to expand the days and hours of clinic, and also to add some mental health supports and counseling to the clinic, especially important for those in our community that do not have financial wherewithal to afford such supports and services. So we encourage everybody in the community to become part of this 10-day fundraiser. And we thank all the businesses that have agreed to participate to date, and we hope that we'll have more. And I thought a great way to kickstart the whole thing, even though it's not quite the 21st, is to bring the box into the chambers. And I have kicked off with 100 toonies in hope that this will inspire others to add to the box. We will be at the Scottish Festival and Highland Games on the 21st and at Memorial Park on July 1st. And as I said, there will be boxes and opportunities to donate all over the community. And I see Councillor Darrell's got some toonies in his hand. So if any of you want to come up and give a donation now, I'll wait a second and then we'll move on the agenda. Any donations over $20 do get a tax receipt from the Port Hope and District Healthcare Foundation.